This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And into Studio A we go with WSMI's David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. High school basketball season well underway. Thanksgiving tournaments are, well, I guess, wrapping up. The last of the tournaments are wrapping up probably today. And the regular season off to a great start, especially in the area. Some really good teams. Hillsboro undefeated right now. Litchfield 7-1 on the season. Mount Olive girls are, I think, 6-1, or 6-2, rather. So they're off to a good start. So just good basketball all around the area.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Hillsboro ranked second in the state in this week's 2A poll. Mount Olive came in 10th ranked. Early season class polls, really, in high school sports don't mean a whole heck of a lot. But it's always nice when you get that type of recognition.
That's right. We've also got junior high basketball with some local teams with some success. As the Gillespie, I think they're the Gillespie Indians in junior high. They are in the class 3A, 7th grade 3A state tournament, and they will play Paris Mayo this afternoon beginning at 2:30. In class 2A, Greenfield will take on Lewistown Central in the 7th grade 2A state tournament. So good luck to those area teams.
And the way the junior high state tournament is set up, the winners today in the first game will play again this evening,
yes,
in the semifinals. And then the state championship game, I think, is December 10th.
Yes. Should Gillespie win? I see they are game four, so they would play at 6:30 tonight. And if they can win that one, they'll play in the state championship on,
I think it's Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
At 7:30. So, and we might have that if they get that far. We'll see.
Oh, if they get there, we'll be there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there it is. You heard it here first. We had basketball going on around the area last night. Just one game as part of our girls-boys doubleheader. And the Litchfield girls, they defeated Staunton 68-18. Anna Tomac was the leading scorer for the Purple Panthers. She had 14. Litchfield boys, following that, obviously both games you heard here on WSMI FM 106, the boys won 83-32, and Josh Frankie, facing his former team as the Staunton Bulldogs, he had 16. Cooper Scharf led all scorers with 22. Panthers looked good.
Every varsity player scored last night for Litchfield.
How about that? That's when you know you have a very good night.
Yeah. They won by a combined 101 points, the girls and boys,
well,
last night.
Yeah. Obviously, neither coach probably has much to complain about from the games that their teams played last night.
I enjoy those nights where you get the girls-boys varsity doubleheaders, and not every school can do it because you really need a second gymnasium so you can have the JV games running at the same time. And, you know, it can be a bit of a logistical issue for the hosting school, but overall, I think it just makes for a very fun night of basketball. And the crowd last night inside Simmons was absolutely electric.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. One of the loudest I've remember that gym's in a while. So, yeah, great atmosphere. Obviously, Staunton being on the short end, the girls specifically being on the short end, that was the day two of back-to-back games for them. They'd played East Alton Wood River on Thursday and lost, and then last night they had to face a tough Litchfield team and couldn't get the win either.
Well, both Staunton boys and girls, in a lot of ways, they're in the same boat this year. So young. Very few seniors on the rosters at all. Lots of freshmen, lots of sophomores. Not just on the roster, but basically playing a majority of the minutes are the underclassmen. So when that happens, no matter what school you're at, there's going to be growing pains associated with it. But the good thing about that is, as a coaching staff, you can see maybe the bright spots down the road, knowing, okay, freshmen and sophomores now, in a couple of years, we should really have
something working. And obviously, like the Staunton boys being a very young roster, it's his coach Josh Crumweedy's first year for the Staunton Bulldogs boys basketball team as head coach. So, you know, he's still learning his ways as the Staunton head basketball coach. Comes from a father who is a coach at, you said, Carrollton.
Yeah.
So he's got coaching in his blood. I don't think Kyle McBrain, this isn't his first year as a girls head coach.
No, last
is it?
Year was.
Yeah, last. So he's still relatively new to being the girls head coach at Staunton as well. So I'm still developing that program. So it'll take a few years.
Crumweedy's barely older than the kid he's coaching.
Yeah, he was just at Illinois College in the spring, and now he's
freshly out of college.
Head coach. So good luck to the Staunton Bulldogs the rest of their season. Good luck to the Litchfield Panthers the rest of their seasons as well. Continue with the scores. All right. That was obviously the only girls game in the area going on. For the boys, as we mentioned, Litchfield over Staunton, 83-32. At Carlisle, one of those few Thanksgiving tournaments still going on, Hillsboro defeated Greenville last night, 58-55. Alton Marquette.
Is there really a Thanksgiving tournament, though, David? I don't know.
It's an early season tournament. It kind of gets lumped in with the other Thanksgiving tournaments.
I guess it does.
Yeah. That's where I found it. I found the bracket with all the other Thanksgiving tournaments. So,
okay,
I'll consider it that much. We can call it an early season tournament. Oh well. Alton Marquette, this wasn't a tournament. They defeated Nokomis last night, 54-30. So Nokomis, the boys, still winless on the season, but obviously, I mean, their schedule is just very tough to begin the season, and that's another team that's not a 1A team that Nokomis plays early.
Well, that's
on.
Exactly right. I'm not sure if Marquette, if they're going to be 2A. But,
I'd say at least, yeah. Probably.
But every other school in Nokomis has played has been 3A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Civic Memorial, Triad, Granite City, and Taylorville.
Yep.
Yeah, so all 3A schools with Alton Marquette being the only 2A. Lincolnwood defeated Mount Olive last night 56-48. Pretty close one, but the Lancers get a win, and they're off to a great start this season.
In Mount Olive, I think they're a good improved club from this year. They were tied with Litchfield earlier this week at 39 going into the fourth quarter before the Panthers pulled away. And then you play with Lincolnwood last night. So looking up for Mount Olive, and, you know, if you're Staunton, you really don't have to look that far down the road. Maybe just look at Mount Olive, and the season they had last year was a long, frustrating year. Now, here this year, maybe they're not getting the results in terms of the wins and the losses, but the competitiveness is there.
Right. And like Staunton, I don't think Mount Olive has a lot of seniors on their team. I've got the roster at my desk, but I think just maybe a couple seniors for them, so they'll have a lot returning next year. So head coach at Mount Olive got a great program to look up to. Carlinville defeated East Alton Wood River last night, 52-49, three-point game, very close. Breeze Modern Day was all over Gillespie, 90-26. And, Tim, I think you said that the Miners are still without Evan Price.
Yes, they are. In Modern Day, they were a state team last year in Class 2A.
Well, they defeated Greenville in the sectional championship last. Was it sectional champions or sectional semis?
That was the semis.
Semis, okay. And Greenville hung with them, a very good Greenville team. So, yeah. Nothing to sneeze at that Gillespie allowed 90 points. They're just a very good team. Williamsville defeated North Mac last night, 49-24. Calhoun beat Bunker Hill, 68-53. And Stormy Kaufman had 27 for the Minutemen. Good young player. We'll get to see him at the county tournament and the holiday tournament. Greenfield Northwestern defeated New Berlin last night, 56-52. Decatur St. Teresa over Auburn, 66-54. And, of course, Auburn has a new head coach this season for the boys.
I think Auburn had, like, four practices. Yeah. You know, they were just playing football last week.
Well, yeah, when you combine that, the short number of practices with the new head coach for the boys, that's not a good recipe for early success.
No.
But they'll get their program developed this year.
And
yeah. Cowden Herrick beat Ramsey 55-50. Jersey defeated Waterloo 41-38. Sandoval 101 points last night. Mulberry Grove 88. So they put up their fair share.
You score 88 points in a high school game and lose.
Was that a regulation game?
That's regulation.
Wow, that's impressive. Metro East Lutheran defeated Springfield Lutheran 46-26, and Metro East looks like the real deal this season. They won their own tournament at Thanksgiving, defeating Waterloo Jabot by 3 in overtime, I think it was.
It was overtime.
Yeah. Springfield Lutheran, it seems that they're a bit down this year because if they've won any games, it's not very many.
They were senior laden last year.
Yeah. Obviously lost the highly touted senior Pearson Wofford to graduation. Macon Meridian defeated Riverton 60-55. Central A&M beat Edinburgh 56-42. Moroa Forsyth over Clinton 72-58. Carlisle over North Clay 78-33. Waterloo Jabot over Madison 65-46. Totopolis over Breeze Central 42-38. And of course, Totopolis replacing their head coach.
That's right.
Controversial but
those are two of the top teams in Class 2A right there. And if both of those squads are playing up in Peoria in the state tournament, I won't be surprised.
Who's that? Jabot and
T-Town and Breeze Central.
Oh, T-Town and Breeze Central. Well, that's true. Well, I think they've kind of been. In the past, they've been been paired in the same section.
Correct.
It's possible that that'll change this year, but who knows? Cumberland defeated Decatur Lutheran 57-42. Okaw Valley defeated Shelbyville 50-40. Taylorville beat Salem 59-46. Mount Zion beat Mattoon 58-44. Effingham over Charleston 78-47. Edwardsville over Collinsville, 61-37. And just the night before, the Collinsville girls snapped the Edwardsville girls' Southwestern Conference winning streak at 89 games overall.
That's amazing.
It is. So, Edwardsville, congratulations to them on that run.
Yeah.
It's now over. You got to start a new streak now.
And they will.
Yeah. Alton defeated East St. Louis 65-62. Belleville Altoff Catholic beat Carbondale 74-58. Granite City over O'Fallon 49-30. West Central over Brown County 53-30. Mount Pulaski over Cerro Gordo Bement 55-46. And Warrensburg Latham over Argenta or Oriana 55-40.
All right.
Those are all the scores we have.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to hopefully catch up with some area head coaches and get their thoughts on the basketball season here as we are on the fifth day of December.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1. We had basketball aplenty last night. Let's go over some college football conference championship games going on today, as today is really the last day in the college football, you could say regular season. In the American Athletic Conference, it's number 19 Houston taking on number 22 Temple. That game's being played at 11. In the SEC Conference, number 2 Alabama takes on number 18 Florida. That game's at 3. In the Pac-12, it's number 7 Stanford against number 20 USC. That game kicks off at 6:45. In the Big Ten, number 4 Iowa versus number 5 Michigan State at 7. That one, the biggest playoff implications in that one, because the winner of that game is going to get in the playoff. And the Big Ten has 3 teams in the top 6. They have Iowa at 4, Michigan State 5, Ohio State 6. Now, should there be some other upsets today, we could see Ohio State sneak their way in, maybe? We'll see. ACC Championship game, number 1 Clemson takes on number 10 North Carolina. That game kicks off at 7. Obviously, number 1 Clemson. Should they lose to number 10 North Carolina, there's a chance that North Carolina gets in the college football playoff. We'll have to see. It's all going to come up to the committee, all going to be decided by the committee on what they decide. Who knows what they're thinking? If Clemson should lose, there are those out there who believe that Ohio State should get in because they think Ohio State's better than North Carolina. Now, I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't think Ohio State deserves to get in based on the way the current playoff is set up, because they did not win their conference. And since there's only 4 teams, I think it should go to the major power conference winners. So that would leave the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, ACC, and Big 12. Obviously, 5 power conferences, only 4 berths. So we'll see. Iowa and Michigan State, the winner of that one, probably going to get into the college football playoff, and the winner probably facing number 1 Clemson, should Clemson beat North Carolina today.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Yep. Obviously, up to the committee to decide the playoff, and that'll be announced, I think, tomorrow after all these games are done.
We're going to switch gears from college football, David, go back to high school basketball, and joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Alan Cooper. And Coop, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Now, have you completed your run, or is that still to come today?
Oh, I just got done, and I just got back in the truck and driving back to the school. So we got done with our run.
Good. You don't sound winded.
Not too bad. It was just a mile, so
okay.
Not too much.
Good deal. Coop, we always like to catch up with you here on Saturday mornings and talk about the Carlinville Cavaliers. And we had you on the radio earlier this week against the Gillespie Miners. And it seems to me that the guard play that maybe you lacked last year, you've replenished a little bit this year.
Yeah, our sophomore group and our junior group. Our junior group had got a lot of minutes last year. And they were real young, so they've matured. And then, like I said, we're going to get some production. We got a lot of production out of our sophomores last night. We were in foul trouble, and all of them had to play a little bit. So, we've got some youth there, and they're getting some minutes now, and that's really good for us.
And it was a bit of a sticky situation, I guess, going into Gillespie earlier, because they'd already played 4 games, and that was your first game. So did you feel like last night your kids were maybe a little bit more settled?
Yeah, we definitely were. We showed up that first night, and everything that we thought was okay, you know, they kind of exploited. I don't think we were ready defensively. I thought we didn't come out with the intensity we needed against Gillespie. We kind of took quite a few possessions off and didn't get out and guard and contest shots like we should have. And that allowed them to attempt the threes, and then when they're unguarded or, you know, our hands are down instead of up, it makes it an easier shot for them.
And I thought that Brady Jamison, he seems to kind of be that guy that's going to make you go this year.
Yeah, we need one of those guys, and I think we probably have maybe 3, maybe 4 that could probably put up 20 in a night, depending on how the night's going for him. But I think Brady might be the front runner right now most consistently. He had 23 last night, and he definitely wants to get a shot off. Sometimes I think he tries to force it, but we need the buckets, so it's okay sometimes.
Coop, as you look at your club here, obviously you've only got two games under your belt, but where do you think that will be the biggest area for improvement as the year moves along?
From game one, defensively, definitely where we had to improve. We played better last night, defending ball screens, giving off, and defending screens, not giving up an easy shot. I think we contested everything last night and made it difficult on Wood River. Mark obviously had his points, and he's a good player. But we had him frustrated because we had a guy in the face and then contesting shots all the time. So we did a better job of that, but we have to do that every night probably to continue to improve.
Well, basketball's in full swing now, so what have the Cavaliers got coming up for the next week?
We got North Mac Tuesday. We got a full week next week. We got North Mac Tuesday, Southwestern Friday, and Calhoun on Saturday. So, full week next week. We took a little run this morning. We're coming back to the gym. We get a lot of shots up. We haven't shot the ball the last few nights working on defense. So, I told them we could shoot a lot this morning. And so, hopefully get back on track and compete next week. And hopefully get back to full strength by the holiday tournament time.
And Coop, that's a player's dream week right there. Three games, so not many practices.
Right. we had a lot of practice earlier. You know, talking to Wood River, talking to Kyle last night. He you play in a Thanksgiving tournament and you don't have a lot of time to fix things. I kind of wish we'd play maybe one or two games that Thanksgiving week to see what you need to work on, but we found that out on Tuesday night, things we needed to improve on. We got a couple good nights, like I said, defensively, and then we got a full slate this week. So hopefully get into the swing of things. The kids are ready to definitely play. They're tired of beating on each other, so they're definitely just like good news.
Sounds good. Alan Cooper, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, thank you for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Alan Cooper from Carlinville and the Cavaliers. They will be hosting, of course, the holiday tournament coming up December 26th, 8th, 9th, and 30th.
I didn't realize the boys weren't in the Thanksgiving tournament.
No.
Is this the first year for that? Or
no, I don't think they ever have been.
Okay.
I mean, they plan on still being playing football.
That's right.
At that point.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But otherwise, you wind up like a situation Auburn is in.
Auburn.
Where you get four practices. Staunton a couple years ago had to pull out of the Metro East Thanksgiving tournament playing in the state championship game.
That's true.
Yeah, so I don't know that officially. That has always just been how I have looked at it.
That makes sense. I mean, a football powerhouse like Carlinville is, then, yeah. I mean, you don't want to hurt your basketball program by, getting a late start like that, having to cancel games, and then.
And, the Carlinville basketball team has always kind of been behind the eight ball there because, it is football first, big track and field, good soccer program. But since Alan Cooper has taken over, they have steadily been improving, and he's got a, I don't know what it is, like a belief or whatever. It's fun to play basketball now at Carlinville. So the numbers are up a little bit, and you can just tell they're competing hard and playing every night.
Just a regional championship team a couple of years ago.
That's right.
With the Cavs, so, and lost to a very good Greenville team in the sectional semis in a very close game. So, yeah, they've had recent success. Very good basketball program he's got going there.
They're rolling along.
Yes, they are. They defeated East Alton last night. 52-49. Good win for him. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. It continues right after these messages on WSMI FM 106.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, along with David Jenkins, Tim Mize with you here. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Casey Schultes. And Casey, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks, guys.
Well, last night, obviously, at Modern Day, that didn't go well, but we'll talk about that in a minute. First off, update on Evan Price.
He's doing everything he can to get back. Nobody wants to be back on the court more than Evan himself. So I'm sure he's itching to get back at it and doing everything he can with treatment. Hopefully get him back this week.
Well, when I saw him the other night talking to him quickly, I asked him how he was doing. He did not give the standard, "I'm okay, not good." Not good. You could see the frustration there.
Yeah, he is. He's frustrated. The amount of time and work that he's put in over his career, it's really rough on him having to sit and watch and not be able to be out there and compete and do what he loves. But he'll get back, and he's being smart about it and not trying to do things he can't do that's just going to make it worse and keep it lingering around. So we'll get him back to full strength, and he'll be ready to go.
And obviously not having him last night against a team like Mater Dei, who was in the 2A state tournament a year ago, you guys really had an uphill battle going into last night.
Sure. And, obviously Evan would have helped, but, that's a real good team down there. It was a bit of a step up in weight class for us, and hopefully we'll use that as a learning experience, see what kind of caliber of play you actually see at the state tournament, and if that's the kind of level we want to compete at, then we see what kind of work we've got to do to get there.
And Coach, obviously the Price boys get a lot of the publicity, but you've got other players who are very talented, maybe not necessarily the size there, but you're still very good across the board.
Absolutely. Tate Wargo's averaging almost 10 a game. Colin Tiemann's right at 10 a game. Eli Fox is right at 10 a game. And those guys are not, stature-wise, large individuals. They're running about 5'7 apiece, but their game is much bigger than that. They're all very solid defensively, get after it, challenge people, really work hard, and have taken their offensive game up another level from where it was last year. They've definitely been a big boost for us.
Casey, what happened to Tiemann the other night against Carlinville? It looked like he blew a tire out late in the third quarter, and then he's limping around, comes back, and hits a 30-footer at the end of the quarter.
I think he kind of just got a little bit of almost a leg cramp right there when he went to jump on had to break away on the layup, and leg kind of just caught on him a little bit. And he was good 5 minutes later and stepped back in and kept drilling three. So. Had just a super game
other than that one little detail. But I did notice that it seemed like Tiemann and Wargo, individually, their shooting seemed to be much improved from a year ago.
Oh, tremendous. Tate's a hard worker. He's got a lot of other sports that he is also involved in. A real good baseball player, and played some quarterback there for the football team. Colin spent I don't know how many hours in the gym this last year trying to refine his shot and really become more of an outside threat, and it's really paying off for him. He's just shooting the lights out right now.
Casey, as a head coach, there's probably not really things that are much more satisfying than actual wins than maybe when a kid, when you have to kick him out of the gym.
Oh, and that whole crew is like that. They've lived and breathed in there. Either in our gym or working on their own, going up to Ageless and working out up there. A couple of the guys played some travel teams and did some things like that. Just whatever they could to improve, it's really paying off for them.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about the development of the Coal Mine Crazies and how it's become one of the best fan sections in the area? I mean, both boys basketball and girls basketball, really just all sports in general.
That is so much fun when you get a group of kids that want to come out and support one another and support your programs. I know Bobby Carr is a big, big leader in that group. His brother Zach plays on the team. His sister Carly plays with the girls. He's a really big leader in that. They call it the treehouse up there above on the far end in the balcony. And they just have a blast. The kids love it. It's great to have that support and know that we can count on that whenever we're at home. And they travel pretty well, too.
Well, they won't have to travel too far on Tuesday night because you got Nokomis coming into town. That's going to be a heck of a ball game, Casey.
That should be. Nokomis is always always a big challenge. You know what you're going to get. They're going to play hard. They're going to play tough physical defense. And you've got to match that intensity. It's been a while since we've had much success against those guys, and hopefully we're ready to go and put up a good fight Tuesday night.
Casey, I guess the one thing that maybe you guys are missing this year would just be overall size.
We don't have a lot of height, but Alex Myers and Blake Hayes have been starting on the interior for us, and they're 6 foot and 6'2", 6'3", but they play hard. They're really working to do the best they can with what they have. They're both skilled players. Alex maybe a little bit more so from the outside, and Blake's becoming that physical presence that we need inside, and working to become more aggressive at that. He's averaging 6 or 7 boards a game and 5 points and coming along. He's got some pretty good low post moves and is working to expand on that. Alex can threaten the three-point line a little bit. Danny DeBrino's coming along as a younger player, stepping up and becoming more of a physical asset for us inside as well. So they're not as tall as we've had in the past, is what you'd like, but they're definitely more than capable of holding their own inside.
All right, Casey, looking forward to the ball game on Tuesday night. We'll have it live on WSMI FM 106 when you host No Comus, and we'll see you Tuesday, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, Casey Schultes, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, and David, Gillespie is just, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, they are. And obviously they do lack size, but, I mean, they more than make up for it in their guard play because they've got some fantastic guards and very, very good shooters, very good speed.
That's what Terry always says, give me guards.
Yeah, that's
give
right.
me guards, and I'll take my chances. And once they get Evan Price back, mm-hmm. and that's what makes their start even more impressive, that they're doing it without their senior leader, Evan Price. They get him back on the floor. If he can come back 100% healthy, probably around the holiday tournament, oh boy.
Could be one of the favorites in the conference whenever he gets back. I mean, because I don't look at the South Central Conference with a clear-cut favorite in mind right now. I think it's wide open, and Gillespie definitely could be the conference winner.
Yeah, there's a number of teams that are going to be able to lay legitimate claim to the mm-hmm. championship this year.
That's right. And, yeah, with their outstanding guard play, and obviously they've embraced it. I mean, they're not big, but who cares? Like we said, they have the guard play.
Exactly right. And talking about the South Central Conference, on the girls' side, what a race for the conference championship that's going to be between Southwestern, Hillsboro, mm-hmm. and Litchfield.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, Hillsboro girls off to a fantastic start. 7-0, I think, on the season. Won that very tough Taylorville Lady Tornadoes Classic Thanksgiving tournament, beating some very good teams, some bigger schools. And then they dismantled a Carlinville team the other night, 80-23?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, it wasn't that bad? Okay.
I don't remember what the final was, David.
Well, they beat him.
I've done a lot since then. I don't remember what it was.
This is true. Hillsboro won, and they're undefeated right now. Southwestern, of course, we haven't heard as much out of them right now as much as like we've heard it from Hillsboro. But Southwestern played in that very good Pena Thanksgiving tournament, had a good showing there. I think lost to Central A&M in the championship game for that tournament. Very, very tight race. And then you throw in a team like Litchfield, who is replacing quite a few starters from last year's team, but does have Abby Brockmeyer returning, as well as a couple of key role players who have assumed starting roles this year in Abby Ferrix and Anna Tomac. So, yeah, plus you throw in, teams like Greenville. Payne is going to be tough this year. Gillespie will be back as well. So very tough South Central this year.
And I left out Vandalia, should not have done that. That was an oversight on my part. They are a very talented club, and they're playing Southwestern tonight.
It should be
or
good
this
game.
Afternoon, I guess, as it will be. So that game early season, though, that, will give a good indication of where the conference might go. If Vandalia can get that win, they've got an early leg up.
Vandalia kind of one of those teams we forget about in the South Central, boys and girls. But, yeah, the girls team could compete.
They're always
the
tough.
Yeah, very.
No matter
very
what
tough.
Their record is, it's always one of those teams you're going to have – you're basically in a street fight when you mm-hmm. play Vandalia, no matter the sport.
And like a team from Pena, it's very hard to beat them on their home floor. So,
Darren Denis, the AD at Carlinville, our buddy, just texted. They played the boys in the New Berlin tournament a couple years ago. But as a general rule,
okay. They
are not in a Thanksgiving tournament.
Gotcha.
For the football.
Good to know.
Good old Darren. Always on top of it.
Always. Always on top of it.
And of course, Darren will be getting the holiday tournament set. Hopefully in a week or so, we will have pairings and matchups
and
for the Carlinville Holiday Tournament.
Might have your blue M&Ms ready.
Oh, he'll have my blue M&Ms.
Oh, he will have your blue.
Don't worry about that.
We'll be there. Very, very excited this year. Obviously, Lincolnwood not in the holiday tournament, but Brussels in. And then Hillsboro, he told us a couple weeks ago, is in the tournament starting next year. At Carlinville.
Yeah,
so.
1 year stop for Brussels, and then mm-hmm. Toppers back in.
Yeah. So, yes, looking forward to all the holiday tournaments coming up. We need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. It continues right after these messages on WSMI FM 106.
We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We've got Fighting Illini basketball for you this afternoon. The Illini hosting Western Carolina live at 1 o'clock today. We'll have it for you right here on FM 106. And David, did you see the renovated assembly hall?
I did see pictures. Looks great.
Looks fabulous.
Blue seats. I don't think they had blue seats before, did they?
No, it was all bland in there. The whole thing was like gray. It was like a rainy day.
Very, very sharp. Very, very well done with the renovations.
And I think they've got it set up to where the orange seats are the student section seats.
I think so, because they're the lower level. Yeah, surrounding the actual court. So, yeah, looks sharp.
I just caught a little bit of it on the television the other night, but what I like just from an eye perspective, there's not as much open space, like, from the sidelines of the court back to the seats. There used to be kind of like where you could actually see like a concrete walkway, like around the whole floor.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't there. They've got seats filled in. So I just thought that made it look a lot better to me.
I'll have to catch one of the games on TV. I haven't watched them at the State Farm Center yet on TV. Obviously, only played one game there. So, yeah, I'll have to see how it looks on TV. I saw pictures from, you know, shot from like the top row of the upper deck, just an overall view of the arena, and it looks good. Obviously, an Illini football team, their season may be done, but they have a chance at having one more game.
Oh, are they gonna announce when they gonna announce the 5-7 teams that make bowls?
Well, today there are a couple of games that happen today where if a couple teams lose, then I think there are gonna be 3 5-7 teams who make it in.
That's terrible.
Now, there could be a fourth and a fifth 5-7 team, and they're basing it on like some sort of academic thing.
Yeah, whoever has the best academic, whatever the formula they use.
Yeah, and Illinois is 5. So if two of those teams lose today, I think Illinois is getting in a bowl game.
Ridiculous. Shameful.
That's when you know you have too many bowls.
Absolutely. We've talked about this before. Everyone's talked about it. There's too many college bowls. Who's watching these bowls? Who's going to sit down and watch a 5-7 team play another 5-7 team, or a 5-7 team play a 6-6 team? Who cares?
Well, clearly nobody's going to the games, because you look, for example, that game, the bowl game the Illini played in last year. What was it? The Heart of Dallas Bowl against Louisiana Tech. If you caught,
just like that's basically the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just, you know, as prestigious as any. If you caught it on TV at all, or you caught any of the pictures afterwards, you'll notice there were like 12 people in the stands during that day. And obviously, weather may have played a factor, because it wasn't the greatest weather, but still, nobody, that place wouldn't have filled out in the best day.
Situations like this is where the NCAA loses all credibility, because they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They try to play this game of, we're not a big business. Mm-hmm. We're all about the student athlete, this and that. It's all about dollars. They've already sold sponsorships for these bowls. They've already sold some tickets for these bowls. Yeah. And they don't want to give the money back.
Right.
So they'd rather send a subpar product and just ram it down people's throats, you know? They don't want to pay the athletes. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give up any other precious money that they're just making hand over fist. So they're going to send 5-7 teams to bowl games.
It's also the participation ribbon syndrome.
It is.
Because one of the things I've heard was a lot of the coaches like their season to end on a high note with a win and a bowl game.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Meanwhile, then earn it.
Meanwhile, the football championship series, you know, the division half a step lower than you has more credibility for declaring a champion than you do.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the football playoff now in D1, that helps a lot, because that's a big-time event.
It was huge last year.
And eventually it's going to go to 8 teams.
It will.
It's going to happen sooner than later that it will be 8 instead of 4. But that still isn't going to fix the problem of a gluttony of bowl games.
Yeah. Well, what they probably won't do is they won't eliminate any of the bowl games when they add the 8 teams. They'll just, you know, they'll keep the same number of bowls so they can earn that money. And it'll really be a shame. Because, you know, if you add those 8 teams, I've got the perfect formula. I've had this all set up for some time. The 5 power conference champions, you know, the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12, those 5 conference champions automatically get a berth into the playoff. Then you have 3 wildcard teams. That way you can have, you know, a couple of those really good teams, like an Ohio State this year, who would get in under that 8-team system, or like one of those smaller schools, you know, get one of the smaller schools who's never going to ever have a chance at winning the national title with this current football setup. You have the 8 teams, you can give them that one of those at-large bids and, you know, put like a Boise State or, you know, a Hawaii or whoever.
Well, see, the true test for the NCAA in college football would be in the 4-team playoff system, if a BCU or like a Northern Illinois or a team like that was undefeated, would they put them in? If Northern Illinois runs the table, wins the MAC, if that ever happens, would they put them in the playoff? I don't think they would.
Under 4 teams?
On the 4 team.
No, it'll never happen.
And see, and that was supposed to be what made the BCS so bad and awful, was because, well, if you go undefeated, you should play for the title. Mm-hmm. So if it still doesn't happen with a smaller school in the playoff system, then what do?
Yeah. That's why I say, you know, if you expand it to eight teams, you've got the perfect formula because the five power conference champions plus three at-large teams. And that's the way to do it. I mean, it's the easiest way to eliminate the politics of it all. You have your conference champions in, and then you have the three best at-large teams. There really isn't that much debate until you have a year where there's like 12 really good teams and, you know, so many get left out.
The only debate that would come from that, and I agree with you, I think that's a good idea, would be the non-power conferences would not care for that too much.
Well, that's why I'm saying you could get an at-large team in with a team like a Boise State as an at-large bid. I mean, just the five power conference teams are automatically getting in. And you don't have to obviously announce that if you don't want to get into the politics of it all, but everybody knows the five power conference teams would automatically get in. And then you have three at-large teams, and it just seems like it would work out well for everybody.
It would.
Because then you have that good mix of small
schools. As long as the NCAA is making money, that's all that matters.
Oh, they'd make money.
They don't actually care who's playing as long as they're going to make money hand over
fist. They'd make money.
Oh, they're going to make money.
And you're not extending the season anymore because you have, what, a month and a half, 2 months off in between the regular season and the playoff now? Not 2 months, a month and a half maybe. So
no, December 31st.
Is that the playoff?
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
So a month.
Not quite. They're playing today.
Some teams are playing today.
Everybody but Oklahoma that'll be in the playoff is playing today.
Yeah. So Oklahoma has a month off.
Oklahoma will have a month off.
Yeah. So there's still plenty of time to fit some more games in there and have a bye week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It doesn't make the season too long.
No. Yeah. And I think they've said before, you know, because it is finals week. You know, finals mm-hmm. are coming up. So, I mean, I think that's what they've always
right.
said. And that's legitimate, you know. That is legitimate.
Finals week, holiday season, spending time with your family, yeah.
But no, we don't care about the latter part. that doesn't matter.
Clearly they don't because I think there are games on Christmas Eve. The Hawaii Bowl is typically on the Christmas Eve. Or the Aloha Bowl games, from
yeah.
Hawaii.
Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Don't matter.
I don't think they have any bowl games on Christmas Day.
Well, I think you're mistaken.
I think
you're
wrong.
You're telling me there's not a single college. Of the 60,000 bowl games they got, there's not a single one on Christmas Day?
I don't think there is. I think that's the off day.
I wish we would have looked this up.
We should
have. I think we'll do it in the next break. Because I'm not going to say
that. You're not going to guarantee it?
I'm not going to guarantee it. But I would be shocked if there wasn't a bowl game on Christmas Day.
Oh, I need something to wager. Because I am willing to wager you that there's not a bowl game on Christmas Day. I will wager you a soda that there is not a bowl game on Christmas
Day.
Well, I don't know what else to wager. You got something better?
Done.
All right. You're on.
We got Fighting Illini hosting Western Carolina today live at 1 here on FM 106. We need to get to a break. David's going to check the bowl schedule. We'll be back in a moment. Back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And David, a reminder here or a notation, of course, the Gillespie 7th grade girls playing in the state tournament in Auburn today. So as a result, their high school game against Bunker Hill, that has been postponed and rescheduled for January the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it turns out David was right.
Hey!
There are no bowl games on Christmas Day.
There are no bowl games.
How can
Christmas
this
Day?
Be?
I don't know.
I well, really then, wanted to watch a bowl game on Christmas Day. I'm outraged now.
There's no bowl game in the continental U.S. on Christmas Eve either. Because there's a bowl, the Hawaii Bowl, which it is the Hawaii Bowl. It used to be the Aloha Bowl, but whatever. That's the later one. And then there's a game in the Bahamas.
Ooh. Ooh, so, now that's the one you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you push to get into that one?
Absolutely.
If you're not making the playoff, are you pushing hard to get into the Bahamas Bowl?
There's no way they're sending one of the 5-7 teams to the Bahamas.
Well, it's Middle Tennessee versus Western Michigan.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
It's one of the earlier bowls, so it's considered one of the lesser... You know, lesser-known bowls, but hey.
I'll take the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
The Bahamas on Christmas? Thank you. Please.
The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl from Nassau, Bahamas. Thomas Robinson Stadium. Didn't know they had a football stadium down there. Probably don't.
They
probably
got
just converted soccer stadium.
It could be.
Yeah. There is a game, a bowl game, at the Miami Marlins stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like the Miami Bowl or something crazy like that.
But I am shocked
Miami
that
Beach
they don't
bowl.
Have a bowl game on Christmas Day. I wonder why. They have no
something.
Shame. No, they don't.
I mean,
I wonder if it's because the Christmas Day is kind of considered the NBA's day.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's it or not.
Could be. There was a time where they had they also had NFL games on Christmas
True.
Day too.
But on a day, I mean, when no one's working, you know, a lot of people, I guess, have the TV on, like in the background or the periphery.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that there's not a bowl game on Christmas Day. Can't believe it. Floored. What kind of soda do you want, David?
We can discuss that. We can discuss that. Pepsi's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with Pepsi. I used to be a Coke fan over Pepsi. In my later years, I'm 24. I have developed...
I could come through this window and slap the taste out of your mouth for that statement, David.
I have developed this appreciation for Pepsi.
Mm. Really. See, like, I've always been a Coke guy, but it's a very simple reason why.
Because it was the original?
No, because my grandma had Coke.
Okay.
Go to grandma's house, she had ice cold Coke in the fridge. That's what I like. If she would have had Pepsi, I would have been a Pepsi guy.
Was it
guy.
Like the original recipe? The original Coke recipe?
I don't know about that. She wasn't manufacturing it in
her
basement.
Well, I know, but I mean, like...
No, it was
before all this, like, artificial sweetener and everything.
Well, I'm sure it started off that way as a kid, but as I got... I'm a little older than you, David, so...
Not that much.
True. But no, I think it was just the normal Coke. But the point being, Grandma kept Coke, so I was a Coke kid.
My grandma had RC.
Ooh, an RC Cola, yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
Not a fan of the RC Cola.
I was as a kid. What?
You didn't like the soda your grandma kept in her fridge?
It was good as a kid, but then when I had it later on, because I think there was a gap in between. Like, I didn't have it every day, every time I went there. But
everything tastes better at grandma's house.
Yeah.
You know, you can make the exact same thing that she made. It doesn't taste as good.
No.
Like, I did everything grandma did. Why does this not taste as good? Because grandma didn't make it.
Well, actually, I think there have been studies done that whenever you make your own food, it never tastes as good as whenever someone makes it for you.
That's interesting.
I think you've really... Plus, you're not as hungry whenever you make your own food because you've kind of, you know, desensitized yourself to it.
Yeah, I run into that. Like, I was hungry when I started making this meal.
Yeah.
Now I'm not.
No, I'm not.
What has happened here?
Well, some of it couldn't cut. Like, if you're, you know, sneaking tastes from everything, too, that can, you know, quietly fill you up.
Well, we're getting into the prime snacking type of the year, too, with the holiday treats and cookies and, oh.
Yeah, Christmas, you know, like, when you celebrate... Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whenever you celebrate Christmas, you know, you don't really have, at least my family, we don't really have big meals planned. It's pretty much just all finger foods and snacks and fill up on those.
Can't go wrong with that.
Little Smokies, meatballs, you know, little sandwich trays as well. Yeah.
That's like a Christmas Eve thing for my family. And then we get like the full-on turkey and stuffing on Christmas Day. With a ham in there.
We've occasionally done the big meal on Christmas, but usually it's just snacking.
We've gotten on to deep frying a turkey now.
Really?
Solid. Solid.
Whole turkey?
Yes.
Wow. Never done it.
Not hard.
I've never made a whole turkey.
You just got to be smart about it. You don't want to burn your house down.
Yeah, this is
you hear a lot. You hear a lot of stories around Thanksgiving about people who burned their house down deep frying the turkey. See, the biggest thing is people put too much oil in.
Okay.
You got to calculate and remember that when the bird goes in, the oil is going to rise. So if you only want to fill it about a quarter, maybe slightly less than half with oil. You put more than that in, the bird goes in, all of a sudden you got a oil
a
geyser
fire.
Shooting. Yeah. This is no good.
That's not good. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Hey, you want to talk a little baseball?
Let's do it.
Because a lot has happened this week in baseball.
And the winter meetings haven't even arrived.
No, Monday, I think, is what it is when it starts. And four of the top five, well, not four of the top five, but four pretty big name starting pitchers are off the market before the winter meetings.
And the biggest surprise, of course, would have to be Zach Greinke last night agreeing to terms with the Arizona Diamondbacks. How about Tony La Russa making moves out there in the desert?
I tell you, that escalated quickly. It really did because, you know, it's down to the Dodgers and the Giants for Zach Greinke. And then all of a sudden last night, well, the Diamondbacks are in it. Oh, here, he's done deal. He's going to Arizona.
There's always a mystery team, isn't there?
Right.
Like, remember a few years ago with Pujols. The Angels were that mystery team.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a mystery team that comes in out of left field, so to speak, that no one saw coming. And Arizona would have fit that to a T this year. That's a very interesting move.
Well, they saw how improved their club was this past season. You know, they were very good. They they didn't show up like they wanted to in September because they were in the postseason. They were in the NL West race until they faced the Cardinals in the first week of September.
That's right. There was kind of talk out there about being in the wild card hunt, and then they just fell flat on their face.
That's right. So now, you know, they obviously lack that ace starting pitcher they did before they signed Greinke. They wanted Cueto. Cueto didn't want to sign there, and they got Zach Greinke.
It'll be interesting to see because Cueto turned down $120 million.
Mm-hmm.
Will he get that or a bigger deal from somebody else? Because I can't believe Arizona's going to give him that now, even if he
Cueto?
Came back and wanted it. Yeah.
They won't give it to him. They want, I think they said they want Mike Leake. They want to add Mike Leake to their rotation with Greinke.
I'm always looking for teams other than the Cardinals that I can root for during a baseball season. Mm-hmm. I think Arizona's become team for me.
Fun team to watch. Obviously, they also wanted Shelby Miller. Arizona did. They tried to trade for Shelby Miller for AJ Pollock straight up, and Atlanta said no. Anyway, that's what it was. It was Shelby for Pollock straight up, which not a terrible deal because both cost-controlled players, both very good players and all-stars this past season.
This move, though, with Greinke to Arizona could have massive implications for the Cardinals because this could mean that the Dodgers are going to go all in for Jason Hayward now.
You think?
Possible.
They're kind of stacked in the outfield as it is.
Yeah, but they can make a trade.
They can.
They can move some stuff around. They're going to have to do something, though, because their rotation is garbage now. Yeah, you got Clayton Kershaw, and then you got four bums.
I don't remember who the rest of the rotation is.
Exactly. Like Brett Anderson.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Well, let's see. Kershaw and Greinke started games 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the NLDS. Anderson started the other. So, yeah, they don't. They hopefully will have Ryu back. But
if you're the Dodgers, when you had Greinke and Kershaw, look how many playoff series they won. One.
Did they have Greinke when they won that series? Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they did.
They did. It was just for, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's right. But of course, they go after Cueto now?
The Dodgers?
Yeah.
Probably so. Lackey signed with the Cubs. 2 years, $32 million.
And, from what I was reading, that was...
Beer and chicken, woo! Well,
that was beyond what the Cardinals were going to pay for.
I would hope so.
They were probably going to go, basically, with what the qualifying offer was, $15 million per year was going to be the max, and he got... 16. So,
yeah. John Lackey was great for the Cardinals in his time, but he's not 25.
No,
he's like 37 years old.
This is true. I'm not gonna write him off as much as other Cardinals fans are.
I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying that I don't view this as any sort of big time loss for the Cardinals.
Right. Well, I only view it as a big time loss because he was one of my backup options. Had none of the others worked out, and now when you start losing some of your backups, it's like ooh. We got to do something.
Well, it's funny, the last 2 years, all the talk about the Cardinals has been all this pitching depth. You never have quite as much pitching depth as you think because they don't have any pitching depth right now.
They don't have
any
more. Right
now. At the major league level, they might have guys at the lower levels, but, they're not close to the big leagues.
Hypothetically, if they were not to make any more moves for the rotation, they would go into 2016 with the starting rotation of Wainwright, Waka, Garcia.
Yeah.
We assume Martinez is going to be healthy enough, and probably Tim Cooney. You're gonna have a battle between Tim Cooney, Marco Gonzalez, and Tyler Lyons.
There's talent there.
Yeah.
Is there innings there though? I don't know.
Cooney's season was cut short due to an appendectomy, so.
The Cardinals got money to spend. I say they come out of the winter meetings with a big name starting pitcher who will eat.
They were linked to Samardzija last night. They were talking to him apparently. I don't necessarily like it.
He eats the innings.
He does. They better not be a $100 million deal.
No, I would hope. You can't pay Jeff Samardzija more than Adam Wainwright.
Right.
Can't happen.
Right. I would be a lot more happier with Mike Leake. I'm hoping for Mike Leake.
There we go. We'll find out.
Mike Leake and Mark Burley.
Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Good luck to the Gillespie Indians 7th grade girls basketball team playing in the state tournament this afternoon at 2:30 at Auburn High School.